Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Reformation Sunday. You can see we have a new color up here, don't we? For 23 weeks, we had the green of Pentecost that signified the growth that we have as we grow in God's Word. And today, we begin a new season, the season of end time. This is when we focus on the end of our church year as we look toward the last judgment of Jesus. And today, especially, we remind ourselves of that until that time, we are very well equipped. God has given us His Word and His Word alone. In His grace, He has saved us in His grace alone. And we receive that by faith alone. That's what we celebrate today, Reformation Sunday. Today, we'll also be looking at how we can face trials, but how God always lets His gospel be proclaimed. God be praised for that. You'll also look in our worship bulletins where the service is printed out that we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord together as one. The first hymn that we're going to celebrate this morning with is a very classic hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It's hymn 201. We're going to do 201 in your red songbooks. May God bless you as you worship God this Reformation Sunday.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our refuge and strength, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all their enemies, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Daniel chapter 3, where we see that Some men stood strong in the Lord. From Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." The word of the Lord. I'll hear a song from the choir.
Thank you.
can indeed be strong because God promises that his eternal gospel will be proclaimed, as he says in the second lesson from Revelation 14. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The verse of today, the verse of the day is very fitting for today, Reformation Sunday, from John 8. Alleluia. If you continue in my word, Jesus says, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the gospel lesson. Jesus here tells us in Mark chapter 13 that, yeah, we'll face difficult times in these end times, but don't fear, we have someone with us. Mark chapter 13. Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ."
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, "O God, O Lord, Your Holy Word," number 204.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace are yours, brothers and sisters, now and always, through all the end times. Amen. The sermon text for today is from the first lesson, Daniel chapter 3. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. Abel, Elijah, Elisha, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, Zechariah, all the prophets in between Abel and Zechariah, John the Baptist, Jesus, Stephen, Paul, every one of the disciples, the believers in the early church under Jewish opposition and under numerous Roman emperors, the Christians who were there for the rise of Islam in the 7th and 8th centuries, the Christians who were there throughout the centuries with the rise of heresy in their own church, John Huss, Martin Luther, William Tyndale, a Christian woman in Pakistan who was recently on trial for blaspheming Muhammad, a Christian man in the Cameroon who was a missionary and recently killed. All of these people had to defend their faith. They had to face persecution in some way, and some of them even gave their lives for their faith. Do you notice that it doesn't matter when? From Abel on, it's been happening, just as God said it would. It's no different for you, that means. You face it. You face it when your faith in God is attacked. You face it when your trust in God's word is attacked. Your kids face it in school, especially at college. Trust me, I can personally attest to that one. You and I know that we're going to face challenge because of our faith, and yet, sadly, there are lots of times when we turn away from God, whether it's in the moment or even over time if we're not careful. So what did all of those people do who stood strong before us, even in the harshest times? What was their secret? Well, we find it here in the first lesson. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reveal it here for us. Regardless of the circumstances they were in, regardless of the challenge they faced, regardless of the outcome, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did one thing, and they knew that if they did that one thing, that they wouldn't be disappointed. What was it? You think you can figure it out? Wasn't easy, I'll tell you that much. Especially considering the circumstances and the context that they were in. They were part of the exiles in Babylon, so they were despised as captured prisoners of war. They were looked down upon as a people of an inferior God who couldn't even protect their people from capture. They were living in a culture that where they probably had plenty of people around them that didn't exactly have God-fearing principles. They probably were sticking out like a sore thumb. In fact, they were. That's what the whole story about is today. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like the circumstances we find ourselves in, doesn't it? God's people trying to live godly lives in a sinful world, sticking out like a sore thumb, despised and looked down upon by the people for not doing what they do and worshiping and believing what they believe. Sometimes we feel like foreigners. This place is not our home. Heaven is. The circumstances we find ourselves in are very much similar to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just regardless of the circumstances, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that one thing. regardless not just of the circumstances, but also regardless of the challenge that they suddenly faced. King Nebuchadnezzar set up this idol, this image that everybody was to bow down to when they heard this special music playing. We're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king on the planet at that time, the king that had just defeated and exiled God's people. When he tells you to do something, you'd better do it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't do it, they were called out by these wise and widely respected astrologers in Babylon. The king heard about it and he was furious, and he called them to him and he said, "Is it true? Now when you hear the music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" When they still wouldn't do it, he became even more furious, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The fury of a powerful king, being tied up by the strongest men in the army, a fiery furnace times 7, which is really just an idiomatic way of saying it was as hot as possible. You can see that when it killed even the men that brought him to the furnace. And then finally, falling into that furnace. This was quite the challenge that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced. Imagine the fear that must have risen in their hearts at every step along the way. Maybe you've looked at this story in the past, and you've thought to yourself, and you've pictured these 2 men, or these 3 men, as standing resolute, strong, without a lick of fear in them as all these things happened. Come on. These are human beings just like us. Great fear must have struck their hearts from the moment that the command came to bow down, to when the king was furious, to when they were called out, to when they were bound, to when they were thrown into the furnace. When they saw the fire. Whew, fear must have risen up inside of them. Yet regardless of the challenge and regardless of the fears that brought, these men did that one thing. I'm guessing that you have never faced a fiery challenge so intense. Yet that doesn't mean that we don't face challenges. We might not be told to bow down to an idol or else, but we're often told to bow down to anti-scriptural sentiments, theories, ideologies, feelings. If we don't, we run the risk of being called out by wise and widely respected people, and for being ashamed for the God that we believe in. We might not be bound by rope, but we are bound, sometimes we can feel, by our strongest friendships, social ties, where we're tempted to take others in front of God. We might even be tempted to take ourselves and our own safety before God. In short, you and I face the fire every day. So how do you do when that challenge arises? Do you do that one thing? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the challenge, did that one thing. But it wasn't just regardless of the circumstances and the challenge, it was also regardless of the outcome. They made that clear in their response to the king when these accusations were first brought up. They said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he may deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Would they be saved or wouldn't they be saved from burning alive? They didn't know. They weren't going to presume to know what the Almighty God was going to do. They knew that God could do it, but they couldn't say without a doubt, yep, God was going to save them from it. Look at all the names I listed earlier. Some of them God chose not to save. They weren't going to say that God would absolutely do this, but regardless of that, they weren't going to let it keep them from doing that one thing. Shouldn't keep us from doing it either. Maybe we face all of these difficult times and we might have physical danger. Maybe God will save us from that physical danger and that harm. Maybe he won't. And it's not just physical, but a lot of times emotional harm. Maybe standing strong in your faith will mean that others will respect you. Maybe it'll mean that it hurts your reputation with them. Maybe you'll have friendships forged because of it. Maybe you'll have current friendships severed. Maybe you'll come out on the other end feeling strong as can be and praising God for his deliverance. Maybe you'll feel hurt, feel more anger, and feel more scarred than you did before. It doesn't matter, because regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the challenge, and regardless of the outcome, we do that one thing. What is it? Of all people, King Nebuchadnezzar figured it out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here," effectively reversing his sentence. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. The fire didn't even touch their clothes, much less their bodies, and not even the smoke from the fire did. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. King Nebuchadnezzar figured it out. They trusted in God. Literally, what he says is they trusted upon him. What a neat picture of faith. Where does your trust rest? You place it upon God. You don't place it upon other gods. You don't place your trust upon other people and their opinions and their theories. You don't place your trust upon yourself. You place your trust upon God and God alone. Where do you put all your chips? Where do you double down? You place all of your trust, safe and secure, upon God. No matter what happens. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Look at all of the things that they had to face, and yet they made sure that that trust in God outweighed their fear. It outweighed the fury of the king. It outweighed the strength of the flames. They placed their trust on God. If you want to fill it out in your bulletins, place your trust on God. Are you thinking to yourself, that's it? Yeah, that's it. It's a simple concept. Kind of hard to do, though, sometimes, isn't it? But whose fault is that? It's not his fault. That's certainly our fault. Look at how many times God has come through. I could have listed every single believer that's ever lived at the beginning. God has come through every single time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were no different. Regardless of the circumstances, the challenge, and the outcome, they placed their trust on God. So we do the same. Place your trust on Him. You might stand before kings and governors and powerful people, as Jesus says in the gospel lesson. Just like Martin Luther, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, all those other people. You might have to give an account of your faith. Might not be kings and governors, though. Might be your group of friends. You might have to do it in your office with your staff. You might have to do it at school in front of your classmates. You might have to do it with your kids. You might have to do it by yourself against the temptation and against your own sinful nature. Maybe you'll have to place your trust on God even against your guilty conscience. But when that moment comes, and it comes, and it comes, and it comes, where will you place your trust? Upon the God who promises and keeps His promises every single time. Upon the God who is the most solid hope that we could ever have. Upon the God who sent His Son to die for us. Upon the God who sent His Son, who's the Savior, who ironically became a martyr, but not really ironically when you think about it and you get to know Him. He became a martyr for all the times that we failed to become martyrs in the moment. We place our trust upon the Savior who faced the flames of hell for us so that we might not even have even the scent of the smoke of hell upon us. We place our trust upon God because we know the ultimate outcome. We might not know the immediate outcome, but we know the ultimate one. Even if it means death right now, it means death never again, thanks to Jesus. We place our trust on God. If we do that, we all know it's well placed. There's something interesting there. Have you noticed that? When you place your trust on God, it isn't you really doing anything, is it? It's God. He's the one that gave you His word to create that trust. It isn't you who delivers. It isn't you who directs the affairs of the world and determines the outcome. It isn't you who does the miracles. It isn't you who pays for sin. It's Him. It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were bound. What could they do? It was God. It's always God. That's why we place our trust on Him. Abel, Elijah, Elisha, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Zechariah, all the prophets in between Abel and Zechariah, John the Baptist, Jesus, Stephen, Paul, every one of the disciples, the early believers and believers throughout the centuries, John Huss, Martin Luther, William Tyndale, Christian woman in Pakistan, Christian man in Cameroon. Insert your name here. Because regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the challenge, and regardless of the outcome, you place your trust on God. God in His Son alone, in His Word alone, and by His grace alone does the rest. Amen. Please stand. May Christ, His Word, and His grace guard your hearts and minds now and always through this end time. Amen. We now confess our faith in Christ and in that eternal gospel according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for your office.
Morning. As part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Chris Hardwick, the sister-in-law of Judy Washburn, Stan Kuhlman, Ed and Bev Heinitz, as well as David Haugen. We also include a prayer for those celebrating anniversaries and birthdays this week. We We pray together the prayer of the church. It's one mind and one heart. Lord, we praise you on behalf of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to shower them with your blessings and give them many more years to your glory. We also come to you on behalf of all who are faced with health challenges. Guide them and their doctors. Bless their recovery. Comfort them with the hope of the resurrection. And sustain them with the knowledge that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Almighty God, you have given us your word that gives light to your grace through your Son, which we have through faith alone given by you. Every year we celebrate these facts on Reformation Sunday is another year we've gotten to celebrate together. We praise you and thank you for the fellowship you've given us, and we ask that you continue to bless us as we share your eternal gospel with those around us. And as we do, we ask for your continued protection and guidance. Help us to place our trust on you and you alone. We ask all of these things in the only name through which all of these blessings come to us, in Jesus our Savior. Amen. Now please stand in honor of the gospel and the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who will soon come again in glory to deliver us forever from this present evil age. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Number 203.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful Reformation Sunday to worship with all of you for all of the gifts that God gives us. Please stick around to celebrate those through Sunday school and Bible class. We have a new round of Bible classes starting up here for November and December. Here in the sanctuary, we will be diving into church fellowship, and in the chapel, we will be diving into Isaiah gems, gems from the book of Isaiah. Today is also LWMS Mission Box Sunday, so you'll see the pink box back there on the information center, so please put that on your mind and in your heart to give to that mission. The area Reformation service is this evening at 4 p.m. with a potluck following. So if you signed up for that, please come and bring what you got. But regardless, come celebrate together with worship and then celebrate together with fellowship afterwards. Tonight, 4 p.m. Primetimers, lunch next Sunday at the Old Spaghetti Factory in Roseville. There's going to be a sign up back there on the Primetimers board, so go check that out as well. Next Sunday is also Veterans Day, so we're going to have a Veterans Day observance. Please see the note in the weekly news, and I believe there is an insert as well in the bulletins today. Just a heads up, we're a couple of weeks away, a few weeks away already from Thanksgiving. So just to get that on your radar already. But services for Thanksgiving week, we've got Wednesday here at St. Mark's in the evening at 7 p.m. And we'll also have a worship at Hope at 10 a.m., Hope in Penryn. That's Thursday, November 22nd, here at Wednesday, St. Mark's. Those are the announcements I've got for you. Please see all the other ones in the weekly news. May God bless your Reformation Sunday as you stand strong on His grace, His Word, and His Son. Please stick around and greet one another.